Martin, when Abel came back from chasing after Lot to rescue him from the brigands that came and took him captive, and you get the story in Genesis 14, when Abel met this mysterious figure, put it that way. But I want to start off with Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4. Because this is what it says about this man that Abel met. It says, "Now consider how great this man was." Consider how great this man was. Now, if I had to speak to you or anybody, and even say, what you'd say, "Well, who is he?" I'll say, "Well, we don't know. We can make a guess. But we don't know." But the Bible says, "Now consider him, because he was a great man. He was so great that even Abraham, the patriarch, gave him 10th of all the spoils that he'd taken when he rescued Lot." So Abraham recognized this man as somebody who was special, somebody who was anointed of God. And he gave a tenth of all that he had taken to this man. And of course, when you go back to the scriptures, when we talk about tithes, it comes from this story here. Because a tenth is the tithe. And so this man, it says, consider how great he was. Well, there are a number of things we can think about him. He obviously knew God. He was a man who knew the living God. He was a man who knew the calling of God upon his life. Not only did he know that calling upon his life, he was actually living that calling. And the Bible tells us here, this Melchizedek, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Now, Salem is the old name for Jerusalem. So this man, Melchizedek, is king of Salem, but he's also the priest of the Most High God. Isn't that interesting? And it says, "To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." The interpretation of his name, King of Righteousness, King of Peace. The interpretation, Melchizedek, King, see that righteousness. So Melchizedek. And the thing to know about Melchizedek, it's not the name of a person, it's a title. Just like in the Roman days you had the Caesar. Melchizedek is a title. And so the title of this priesthood is King of Righteousness, and then King of Peace. Righteousness, peace. It's something you'll always find in the scriptures. And it's something you should take note of, because peace never comes until righteousness comes. Until you have righteousness, you will never ever have peace. And that's why the Bible talks about Salem. We talk about Jerusalem, the city of peace, the city where all the wars through the ages, probably more than any other place. But it's called the city of peace because when Jesus Christ comes, when he comes to land his feet upon Mount Olive, he lands it just beside Jerusalem, and he comes into Jerusalem. And the Bible says, until he comes, there's no peace. Until the King of Righteousness comes, there is no peace. So no matter where you go in this world, there will always be turbulence. There will always be problems. No one in this world will ever solve the problem of wars. No one in this world will ever solve the problem of hatred. It's only when righteousness is established that peace comes. And so the interpretation of his name, Hebrews 7, 2, King of Righteousness, and after that, also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. And so Melchizedek is a title. And here he's a great man. He meets Abram, and Abram recognizes him. And the Bible also goes on to say, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And of course, this verse always catches what does it really mean. Another thing which we do know what it doesn't mean is that it is not a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Why is not being, why do we know that? Because Christ is a mother. When Christ was born, Mary was his mother. Born of the Holy Spirit, came into this world. If you make this person an angel of the Lord, well, you still have problems, because what angel abideth forever? Abideth a priest continually. There's no angel till fills that role. But however, Melchizedek priesthood is an eternal priesthood. And so, we're talking about the priesthood. This priesthood is unique. And Melchizedek comes to Abram. And Abram gives him a tithe of everything. And then Melchizedek blesses Abraham. He blesses him. Now, the thing about Melchizedek priesthood, when we think about it, the Jewish people, they trace their ancestry back to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The Levitical priesthood comes through Abraham's genealogy. So here we have a priesthood which is greater than the Levitical priesthood. And this priesthood blesses Abraham. And this priesthood is the priesthood that Jesus Christ is after. And Hebrews 5:6 says, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So the word of God about Jesus is that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is not a priest in the lineage of the Levitical priesthood. So who is this figure that people wonder about? They can only make a guess, but the most reasonable guess seems to be it was Shem, the son of Noah. And the reason why we give Shem as the son of Noah as a possibility, and the only possibility really, is because of a number of things. When you go back to Genesis 9:26, the scripture says, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. So Shem was blessed by God. Shem was still living when Abraham was born, and in this particular period of time of Abraham's life, Shem was still alive. Shem would also be the reigning patriarch for the Shemites, because he was the son of Noah, he was in the ark, he would know all about how God ministered to Noah. Even Noah himself was a priest, because he offered offerings and sacrifices once he came out of the ark. So every possibility is that Melchizedek is actually Shem. But nobody can just, it can only be a guess. But Hebrews 7:1 said, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. He is priest, you know that designation, the Most High God. Where you find it is through the book of Daniel. But through the book of Daniel, the term used is the Most High God. And it is a term used for the times of the Gentiles. So here we have Melchizedek, who is a priest of the Most High God. He comes and he blesses Abraham. And through Abraham, you have the Levitical priesthood. And this man, Melchizedek, he is a priest of the Most High God. And it is the Most High God that we read about through the times of the Gentiles, all through the book of Daniel and the prophecies there. And so we come to the scriptures here, and we see that the Levitical priesthood gets blessed by Melchizedek. And verse 7 says, and without contradiction, The less, which is Abraham, is blessed by the better Melchizedek. And then he gives the application and he says, Levi, who receives tithes, and he talks about the tribes of Israel. And said, the tribes of Israel give tithes to Levi. And that is the way that the system worked in the Old Testament. The priesthood was sustained by the people. So all the tribes in Israel gave tithes to Levi. But here he goes on to say that Levi also gave tithes to Melchizedek. And the writer said, well, how did he do it? Because when Abraham was blessed, Levi was still in the loins of Abraham and became his descendant. And so through Abraham, he gave tithes to the Melchizedek priesthood. So this priesthood is a greater priesthood than the Levitical priesthood. Because the perfection could have come through the Levitical priesthood. Because they received the law. Then why was there any need for another priesthood? But you see, the Levitical priesthood was something which was temporary. Because something permanent had to be dealt with to deal with sin. And the law didn't make anything perfect. The law was weak. You know, the priests had infirmities. They had to make sacrifices for their own sins before they could make sacrifices for the people's sins. And when we go to Hebrews chapter 5, and we look at verse 1-4, it says, but every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men to things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So it was an honour for Aaron to be called as high priest. It was an honour for the Levitical priesthood to be established. And the Levitical priesthood, it was a hereditary priesthood. It was a priesthood that father to son, through the generations, a hereditary priesthood. And so that's this priesthood lasted. And then the Bible tells us one day there came a man called John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came on the scene and he started preaching the words of repentance. He said, be baptized, repent and be baptized. And so he wasn't your normal priest. He was born a miraculous birth when his parents were very old. His ministry was not a typical priest because he wasn't ministering in the temple like his father. But he was out in the wilderness and the people would come out to hear him and to listen to him. And as he would preach at the River Jordan and he would baptize people. His appearance wasn't your normal priest either because he wore camel skin. He ate well honey. And so, in a way, there was a bit an enigma about him. And whereas the scripture says about Melchizedek, it says, consider how great a man he was. Jesus, speaking about John the Baptist, says, among those that are born of women, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. There's one place, it says, he is, those who are in the kingdom of God is greater than he. In another place it says, those who are in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Now the kingdom of heaven is a physical establishment where Jesus reigns from Jerusalem. And the Bible says that at that time, nobody will be a prophet because they'll all look and they will see Jesus. So in that sense, there is people will be greater because they will see the Lord face to face. Kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And in the spiritual God, he said, among those that are born of women, there's no greater than John the Baptist. But in the kingdom of God, we are born by the Holy Spirit. We're born by the Spirit. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so John is a preacher who is at the River Jordan. And he is baptizing people. And one day, Jesus appears. And Jesus comes, and John looks, and he recognizes him, and he points and says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so, in that moment, when you go into John, Jesus being baptized by John, you have two priesthoods meeting. So although John was a prophet, he was a priest. His father was a priest. And so he is a priest, and in his priestly capacity, he looks at Jesus and says, that's the Lamb of God, spotless. This is God's sacrifice. Because the duty of our priest is always to look at the sacrifice to declare, is it clean or is it unclean? Does it have any marks or is it pure? And John testified that Jesus was pure, that he was clean, that he was the Lamb of God to be sacrificed. But in the River Jordan, when the two of them come together, two priesthoods come together. John, who is representing the Levitical priesthood, is in the water, and Jesus is representing the priesthood of Melchizedek. And the Bible says that the law, the prophets, they were told John. And so in the river, the two priesthoods come together, and the lesser bows to the greater. What was John's words? I must decrease. He must increase. And so when we come into here, there is a change of priesthood. Because the lesser priesthood is giving way to a better priesthood. In effect, the Levitical priesthood is being disannulled. And we know this happened because when we go into the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, we read about Barnabas. And Barnabas was a Levite. He was a priest in the old system. But now he's getting anointed and laid hands on by the apostles to do the ministry he was called to do. So these two priesthood, and the lesser gives way to the greater. And so this temporary need for sacrifices, which could never deal away with sin, was coming to the place where God's provision to deal with sin was made known to men. And the Bible says in Hebrews 7:16, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Jesus is not like all the priests who come and they die. And they die and they die. Jesus is the power of an endless life. And not only that, the Bible talks about the oath that was made. See, these priests, as I said, there was a hereditary setup. But it was without an oath, whereas Jesus' calling was with an oath. And we'll read about that in a few minutes. But the priest, after the order of Melchizedek, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an endless priesthood, because that means it's unchangeable. No priest ever succeeds him. There's no one going to replace him. There's no one that's going to do his work. Jesus dealt with sin on the cross. And he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And for this priesthood, the Bible says in verse 12 Hebrews, for this priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Why? Because the priests were responsible for the implementation of the law that came to them when they were in the wilderness. The Levitical priesthood got the law, and they were the ones to administer the law, they were the ones to teach the law. But when Jesus came, these things had to be changed, because a greater priesthood is now on the scene. And that's why in Hebrews 7:13 it says, "For he whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar." Jesus did not come from the tribe of Levi. He was not part of the Levitical priesthood. Jesus came from another tribe, the tribe of Judah. And he was after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus, our high priest, what the Bible says about him is this: he ever lives to make intercession for us. He is a high priest who is ever living, making intercession for us before God. He offered himself up once for sin. If not like the daily sacrifices of the Levitical priesthood, every week, every month. If not like the high priest once a year went into the very holiest of holies on behalf of the people. Jesus, once and for all, offered up himself for sin. Jesus has no infirmities like all these priests in the Levitical lineage. And Jesus is eternally glorified. And he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to him. And when we come to Hebrews chapter 5, going from verse 5, it says, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And as he has said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." The oath that is given, the hereditary priesthood of the Levitical priesthood compared to the Melchizedek, and the oath that was given, and this oath is here, that Christ, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee, and has in also another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all men, all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So in the scriptures, we find that God, through Abraham, called out a priesthood to deal with things, and to deal with sin, but everything was temporary. The blood of bulls and goats, they could never wipe away sin. It could only be a temporary covering. But the river Jordan, these two priesthood came again. Just like the days of Abraham, when the greater came to the lesser, here in the river Jordan, the greater, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes and is recognized by the lesser priesthood, the Levitical priesthood through John. And a transparent takes place which is invisible to the eyes of the people there. And John says he must increase. And it's ever been so since that day. Jesus is the one who must increase. We are the ones who must decrease. Jesus is the one who comes and deals with sin. Jesus is the one who was given the word of an oath that he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And his sacrifice is the sacrifice for all, of all sacrifices, where sin is now dealt with. And we can come today to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why earlier on we've been singing a lot of songs about the blood of Jesus. Because on the cross, the eternal blood of the living God, this was shed for you, shed for me. And the whole plan was to bring us back to God and to bring salvation. We see it being unfolded in the story of how God worked through time and through the generations. Taken out to give a priesthood, when I given it back again to the priesthood of Melchizedek. So today, as we stand and we look at the Word of God, we have a high priest who intercedes for us. We have a high priest who bore our sin and our infirmities. We have a high priest who went into the very depths of the earth, into hell itself, who conquered death, who conquered hell, who conquered the grave, and rose again victorious. And the Bible tells us he rose no more to die. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is our great high priest. And today he makes intercession for you and for me. And this is the work of God. And not one of us had anything to do with it. Originated in the mind of God, carried out by the Spirit of God, and we participate in it. And that's why in the New Testament the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. None of us ever worked to earn it. None of us could ever work to earn it. Everything was done through the Lord himself. So that by grace we are saved, not of our own works, so that we could boast. No. It was all from him. The plan of salvation originated with God. The way to keep things ticking over, to deal with sin on a temporary basis, originated with God. So that day came when God's perfect sacrifice walked upon this earth and went to the hill of Calvary. Salvation belongs to our God. And when you come to Jesus, that's why they say, how do you get your sins washed away? By coming to the foot of the cross. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Because it's eternal blood. Part of the blood. And as we come in repentance, he is able to save to the uttermost. So you think you're in a place of hopelessness and despair. No hope. The Bible says there is hope. But he saves to the uttermost. The uttermost. And that is how good our God is. And that is why we worship him today. We lift up his name and we exalt him. Because he has done all things well. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today that our high priest is after the order which is much higher than that which operated through this world through the Levitical priesthood. But our God has come, a high priesthood, to do that only which God himself could do. Wipe away sin. Take away the punishment. Offer salvation. And so, Father, we gladly accept your offer of salvation today. We gladly say, yes, Lord. We stand upon your word rejoicing our sins have been blotted out. That we have a Saviour and a High Priest who still intercedes for us day by day. That we might live this life in the power of the Holy Ghost. So, Father, we just bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen.